Hi, everyone.
Hello, Sam.
Hello.
Okay.
Hi, this is Ashraf as well. Ashraf and Elias from the GSI side here.
Let's just wait a few minutes for we're still missing a few people. Start now.
Great. Here we go.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the OpenLMIS Sprint Showcase. Today we have three teams joining us. Team Parrot is on Sprint 53. Team Ona is on their Sprint 2. And JSI joined us this sprint with their first sprint. Okay, so let's take a look at the sprint reports. Team Parrot, this sprint, worked on finishing the stock reason tagging and enabling patch releases on the back end, and then implementing the first part of the stock-based requisition epic. There were 79 and a half story points completed this sprint by Team Parrot, which is amazing. And some of the tickets that they worked on this sprint are listed here, and we'll go through the showcase of it shortly. Team Ona, this sprint, worked on reporting, the DevOps work for reporting, and they were able to complete 6 story points this sprint. And then Team JSI started their very first sprint and were focused on onboarding and their requisition R&R product lists. And they were able to complete 3.5 story points this sprint. Now I'm going to take a quick look at some of the test cycles that were run this sprint. So we had one manual test cycle this sprint with 12 test cases, and all those 12 test cases passed. And then this sprint, it looks like JSI actually created a test cycle and was able to complete one test for their sprint. The automated tests. It looks like the tests pass, but we have some bugs. Does anyone want to speak on that or look into this a little further?
So I think those are some old bugs that we had, because if I recall correctly, the quality gate won't pass if we introduce new bugs. And yeah, I guess the remaining ones are to be fixed as quick wins or as tech debt.
Okay. Any other comments or questions about the sprint reports and maybe the overall sprints for each of the teams?
I mean, to me, a lot of this looks really great. I'm glad that the Team Parrot group finished a lot of points, but I'm equally glad that we have these two other teams that are onboarding developers, starting to do features. So I'm really excited to see all of it today. And all of those sonar components passing looks really good too. So anyway, I'm excited. It's a lot going on, but from a high level, this looks really good to me.
And this is Ashraf. Just want to add a bit. So in terms of the points, as you see that we have the 3.5, we are kind of new to this process, at least as far as the OpenLMS practices are. So that's why we are very conservative in the way that we estimate our points. But that may not be an actual reflection that this is such a small point there. But as we get up to speed and also get ourselves more kind of familiarized with the OpenLMIS process, and we will see what the practices are in terms of assigning the points, and perhaps at the time we will also catch up.
Great. Thank you, Ashraf. Okay, sorry,
just one more thing, because we had talked about adding this to the beginning. I am going through the TransFX projects, and it looks like in this last sprint, we have about 20 to 25 new untranslated strings. So we'll make sure next sprint to get those addressed right away so we don't have a backlog of untranslated strings with the new work we're doing.
Okay. Thanks, Mary Jo. Okay, so who wants to get started?
Well, probably everyone.
Sebastian, why don't you kick it off?
Okay, sure. I guess we can start. The Team Parrot can start. Okay, so let me share my screen. Okay, and hopefully you should be able to see it. Okay, and I just want to quickly go over those two tickets since there's a lot to showcase today. And this first one is recovering requisitions French translations. Actually, it was the French translations of all the services that we had. So this was done a while ago. What we wanted to do is to track the root cause of losing the translations. Josh has contacted the support team from TransFX, but we didn't manage to get a meaningful reply from them. So unfortunately, we don't know for sure what was the cause, but we suppose that this reason was connected with the Malawi jobs, Malawi CI jobs that we had a while ago on our CI server. And we had that issue that those jobs were clearing the translations. And this was probably the reason why those translations were lost. We have been monitoring the translations for this past month, and there hasn't been any weirdness going on. So we have those translations and they are working. And yes, since we didn't get any reply from Transifex, we have closed this ticket now. And I have consulted this with Josh. He's also happy with this. And the other ticket that I just want to briefly mention, since it was just the backend part, is updating the requisition service with the with tags. And this is both enabling the support for tags for the available requisition columns, and actually introducing the tag field to the requisition column in the template. So the columns that currently support tags are total received quantity, total consumed quantity, and total losses and adjustments. This tag support translates on the UI to actual input fields that we will see later on when the UI ticket is showcased. We have added some demo data for columns that support tags and that use stock-based requisitions, which we'll also see when the UI is showcased. And we have also added a couple of validations on the backend, such as two requisition template columns not using the same tag, or making sure that the columns that require tags for stock-based requisitions have them set. As a part of this ticket, I have also updated configuration guide to explain what the tags means and how they should be used. And as I mentioned, the UI for this and how those input fields look like will be showcased with the UI tickets. Do you have any questions about those two?
Nope, sounds good. Look forward to seeing it.
Okay, so let's quickly move forward. I will stop sharing and let Gdańsk take over now.
Yes, so I will begin probably. Let me share my screen. Can you see it?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, so the first ticket I was working on this sprint was creating a Jenkins file for requisition UI. So to showcase this, I will briefly show it on in the repository. As you can see, the file has been added, as well as the job on Jenkins was created. So at the moment, we are no longer running the requisition UI job to build a new version of the requisition UI, but we are using the pipeline, which won't publish the new image to the Docker Hub unless we pass all the steps, meaning we were able to build the repository, and then the sonar test has passed. So as you can see, the grid is currently working. So if it comes to non-bugs tickets, it was all I had to show. I will also mention that bugs I have fixed this sprint, which was quite a bit for me. So the first one was redirect to 404 page when we are clicking on the requisition, on proceed on the requisition view when trying to initiate a new requisition when we were offline. So this was changed to simply show an indication that we can proceed on this when we are offline, which is better user experience. The second bug was the total cost not being updated properly. This bug was caused by the fact that we weren't taking the ISA column into consideration in our calculation, as it wasn't updated when the column was added. So that was also fixed. The third bug is about some date validation missing. Actually, this was a little bigger problem than I first thought it would be. There were two bugs, actually. The first one was on the requisition side of the UI, which were not updating the error message properly. So we had to submit, try to submit it each time you wanted to make it update the error message, which is not what our error style guide suggests. And the second one was that the entering date with the text input that the date picker provides wasn't actually working at all. So we could enter the date and it would get changed. It wouldn't even be reflected in the model. So I have also fixed that. We have also done some refactor to the date picker to make it more maintainable and added some missing tests. The next one is about gracefully handling offline attempts to login. It was fixed by simply changing the error message, as the part about logging model not disappearing was already fixed before. So it now only shows the message that we can connect where we are offline, and we should try that again later. We are also getting the alert model saying that we can't complete this action while offline, which is also according to our error style guide. So, and the last one was about the inability to enter physical inventory screen. If user had a permission to a program that wasn't supported by his or her's home facility. So this also was fixed, and now all the screens, meaning the adjustment screen, received, issue, and physical inventory, will now display only those programs that are supported by the home facility of the user and for which the user has rights to. And I believe that's all I had to showcase today. One last thing I was also working during this sprint was documenting the standardized error behavior in our style guide. I've prepared some wiki page about it, but I will showcase that during our next tech committee call, as it will require a feedback on which approach you want to take. Okay, so are there any questions regarding any of the tickets, or should I move forward?
I think you should move forward. Thank you for.
Yeah, so who would like to go next?
Okay, I can go next. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, so maybe I begin from the bottom. So the first ticket was about reviewing API tech debt found by owner team. There's a wiki page. I add some action decisions, and this will be shown on the next tech committee call. The next ticket was about creating a Jenkins file for dev UI. The file is very similar to this one shown by Nikodem. And also the related pipeline job was created on Jenkins. The next one was standardize the demo data loading approach, because some of our service still used the old version of loading demo data. Also, I added example demo data to template service and update all README files in the related repositories. And the next one was check and fix the problem with the update facility performance test. In the end, the problem was that in two configuration files, we had a similar scenario name. We had the same scenario name. And in the end, when Taurus connect the files, there was some issues. So this was fixed by simply modified the scenario name. Okay, next one is about creating a contract test. It has been added, and now we have contract tests that verify that in approval stage work correctly. The next one is about change the order of menu items for stock management views according to this list. The next two are related to each other. Basically, when user try to approve, reject, or save requisition that was on the approved stage, on the authorized stage, and the template was set as a stock based, then the server throw a null pointer exception. The solution was easy to fix in one place in the code, and currently it's possible to update the requisition print, approve or reject it. Okay, the next one, design of variables. This was started by Paweł Albeski. I only provide changes required by the review comments, and it was in the end accepted and closed. And the last one, so I added functionality that from now when we create a stock-based acquisition, we retrieve stock on base 1 day before of the period start date, and we use those data at beginning balance for the new created acquisition. And that's everything.
Sorry, can you say that one again?
The last ticket, yes?
Yeah.
So we retrieve stock on hand from the stock management service and we use as of date parameter the 1 day before start date of the current period. Yes, so for example, if we create a requisition for the February, we use the last day of the January.
Okay. Is there going to be another UI ticket associated with this, or is this also?
What do you mean by UI ticket?
I'm just wondering about the actually like seeing it work side.
Yeah. Yes. One moment. So I enabled this column on the UI.
So I think the question is whether we still need to do anything else to have this working for stock-based requisitions. And I guess no. So no. It should be working already, right?
Yes. Could be. So the column is visible. It's read-only and the data are from stock management.
Wow, this is big.
And is it at the end of the day? Like how, when you say it's the day before if the period starts February 1st, is it grabbing at the end of the day before, or is it just, I'm just curious about the preciseness of what date time is being grabbed.
So when we retrieve those data, we don't use the time, we only set a date and to use the 1 day before.
and it will include all the events that happened on that date. So if we set as of date the last day of January, it will include all the events in that stock card that happened this last day.
As of the date you're pulling it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thanks.
No problem. Any additional questions? If now, then who wants to be next?
Maybe me.
No, okay. Stop sharing and go on.
Okay. So the first ticket was about enabling selecting tags on the requisition template screen. So let me just show it quickly. So let's go to the configure screen. And as you can see, for the stock-based requisitions that will use tags, we have the tag selection. And as you can see, we have consumed and adjustment tags below used. So in this dropdown, we cannot use those tags. So the dropdown uses only those that weren't picked already. So yeah, this is basically how it works. The list of this. So the list of the tag of those tags are populated based on all the stock reasons that we have in demo data, and also have the list of tags assigned. So the one thing I can show is that we cannot save template without selecting a tag. So the tag selection is required. So the next.
Sorry, I was just waiting until you're done. Could you go back to that screen for a second?
Yep.
So with the five reasons that you have, those are the new demo data tags in there, is that correct?
Yes.
And I was curious, the choice of choosing a debit and a credit, if can someone explain why we chose the debit and the credit tag?
So I should first correct that we have two tags that are coming from the Bootstrap data and not from demo data. And I believe they are consumed and receive. And yeah, the other ones are coming from the demo data, and I guess we can even remove them since we have those Bootstrap data tags that kind of represent the same.
Yeah, it seems a bit confusing to have those, but I was just trying to understand if there was a reason.
Yeah, I will look at the demo data once and perhaps just correct them so they use those Bootstrap data ones. I guess we first added the demo data ones, then we agreed that we should have some tags in the Bootstrap data on a call that happened a few days later. And you know, those demo data ones just stayed. But yeah, I can take a look at those.
Thanks. Go ahead, Brandon.
I also have a question, just to understand for our existing countries like Malawi, who don't currently have any tags configured. If there are, you said, Nicodem, I think you showed the tags are required to save the page. Are they only required if you've turned on the stock-based requisition up at the top? And
yes. So if I disable the flag, as you can see, there is no tags to select. Also, this is probably,
Okay, so existing countries who aren't using tags can keep their requisition templates the way they are today.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's okay. So let's move to the next one. this is the design of the API for the stock management that we will use for the reporting and requisitions, stock-based requisitions to populate columns that will use tags like total consumed and total received quantities. So the design, I can quickly show that we have the design done. The new API will be called stock card range summaries and will accept facility ID, program ID, orderable ID, multiple orderable IDs, tags, start and end date, and we'll actually have the orderable stock out days info and tags, which will contain the tag name and amount that is assigned to the reason to the line items that have reasons with the tag. So this is how the API will look like, and currently we are working on implementing it. So the next one is actually was done in the ticket before, because we were thinking that maybe we could retrieve stockout days in the separate call, separate request, but in the end we agreed that using one API call will be the best in this case. So this one was marked as dead. The next ticket is about fixing the bug in the requisition, which appeared while trying to print requisition before approving the requisition. So the problem was that on the back end calculation, for the calculations, actually we didn't use approved quantity, but requested quantity for some reason, and the calculations on the UI were okay. So this was adjusted on the backend side and works fine. And the next ticket is about creating a screen for adding new requisition templates. So let me just go back to the list of requisition templates. And as you can see, we have this add requisition template button on the bottom of the screen, and here is the model. So we can type a new name. Let's just select a program, maybe a new program. And as you can see, if I don't select a program, I'm not able to select any facility type, because this model uses the remaining facility types. So if I have a facility type assigned for the program, you won't be able to select a this facility type. So let's maybe select API, and as you can see, I have only two facility types to select, and for the new program I have all five facility types. So let's just add two of them, and here we have the dropdown for the requisition columns. So we have a follow-up ticket to actually fix some validations on the backend side, so we can show them on the model, because they are not actually accurate with the current style guide of how the error messages should be sent from the server. So currently we just need to pick a correct columns, correct required columns, and maybe some that are not. As I said, yeah, this validation thing with pre-populating this list with all the requested, all the required columns will be done the next ticket. So I will just use those three and just create a new template. So yeah, as you can see, we have a new template with two facility types. And yeah, this is basically it.
Just so it doesn't, once you create a template, it doesn't direct you to viewing the requisition template screen?
No, actually, maybe this would be.
And
that way. Mm-hmm.
Can you go back to the original ticket? Okay. Yeah, I think we might want to have a more in-depth, I know we have a lot to get to today, so I won't go into depth on this, but I guess we should maybe have another call about this to make sure I'm understanding how the plan is or the design for this to work looks like.
So yeah, as I said, we have a follow-up ticket and definitely we could put this criteria there. Because for the other administration screens, we are creating a new, let's say, the facility. We will be also redirected to the list instead of this new facility, I believe. So this is kind of the default behavior for those admin screens. But maybe this will be the better way to go to the edit screen for the new requisition template in this case. Yeah, so I believe the next one will be this short ticket. So this was only about changing the priority on the proof of delivery screen. So as we'll go to the manage proof of delivery, select deploying. So as you can see now, the manage, we renamed the button to manage and we changed the priority to manage be the primary button on the screen and the print will be the secondary. So this is the change for this ticket. And the couple of tickets, actually I believe 8 of them, was about adding the Jenkins file to the UI repositories. So the Jenkins files are actually similar to what Coben showed. So this is the Jenkins file. I can just show you a pipeline job for maybe one of the repositories. So yeah, for the CC UI. And the only branch that we have for now is the master branch. Yeah, so all of the pipelines seems to work for now. Okay. So I believe this will be everything for me.
Question. Mm-hmm. Since we did so much of this Jenkins file stuff, mm-hmm. can you explain maybe how this changes the developer workflow? Like I noticed in those Jenkins file setups, it looks like the pipeline would build other branches. If somebody was working on a feature on a branch, it might build, you know, that branch is what it looked like. Maybe can you say, how does this sort of change our developer workflow if I'm a developer contributing a new feature?
So actually the designer for this feature was Jakub Konrad will be next. So maybe I will let him explain that.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so maybe, so yeah. So who wants to, maybe you wants to, Jakub wants to continue?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the workflow isn't that different. It actually builds all the branches, but only publishes the image to Docker Hub for release branch and for master branches. So maybe let me share my screen. Can you see it?
Yes.
Yeah, so as you can see, I have 10 tickets done. All of them were related to Jenkins files. and it started with this spike. So we wanted to support raising from a branch. And the output of this spike is the Jenkins file in reference data repository. And this Jenkins file defines our multi-branch job on Jenkins. So we have this reference data pipeline. And as you can see, it discovers and builds all the branches, but only publishes images for the branches that start with this prefix and also the master branch. So you can see all the stages here, which is built with unit integration tests, sonar, contract test, ERD, and publishing the image. And you can see all the artifacts here. So all the other tickets were about replicating this Jenkins file to other services. I think the only one that was a little different was this for reference UI. It was based on the Jenkins file that Nicodem had shown, and it also starts the deploy to test server. So that's the only difference. But yeah, other than that, you can see all the pipelines here, and they seem to work well. Maybe I'll also show the one for reference UI.
Jakob, I have one question. So if you do push a branch, when it's pushing a Docker image to Docker Hub, if you use the same tag as like master, then will it essentially overwrite whatever was there, whatever was on Docker Hub for master? Like if you're using 10.1.0-snapshot for master and then you also push a branch that has the same version.
It would only overwrite if this branch starts with this release prefix.
So then what tag does it use for, like, if you just have a, you know, a custom branch?
Yeah, so in the build stage, it would publish the image with staging postfix, and it would then use this image in contract tests, which are external job. And if all these stages pass, it would, if it's a master or release branch, it would publish the actual snapshot image or the release image.
Okay, so even if you, so does this include, like, if you just did a custom branch with whatever name you wanted, it would still use a snapshot, use that same snapshot tag, or it would have one that has a suffix of staging?
So, yeah, it would use that staging, but if all the stages pass, and the other requirement is that it has to be master or release branch, then it would override that image. So as you can see, for example, on this branch, it wouldn't override the snapshot image.
So I think it's getting back to Brandon's original question, what do developers need to know? I think the summary at the moment is that nothing really changes, except that branches will be built. And you should avoid using a branch that starts with the prefix REL.
Yeah, that's right.
I guess I'm just curious if you push a custom branch that's not master or REL, like, is that Docker image available on Docker Hub to be pulled?
I think it would be, but only the staging one. So the one with staging suffix.
Right. And there is a review that's open for this with that staging thing, and there is something to learn from that. I'm just going over the review, Jakub, but yes, it would be out there.
Yeah, because it was done in Unreplicate, in this one, and it's still in review.
Yeah.
Replicate is about adding a job for contract tests.
Okay.
So that's all I had. Do you have any questions?
So does this mean that these pipelines are available now? Like that's what we're using from this point?
Yeah, all the previous jobs are disabled. So as you can see, for example, off service is disabled. And we were thinking whether we could just remove the previous jobs.
Yeah, that's actually my next question, which is, do you have a recommendation for when we should remove them? Jakub?
So I think we actually could remove them because the pipeline seems to work well. So far.
Okay. That sounds good. Maybe we'll do a quick backup of the Jenkins server and then remove them.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Oh, one other question. So how do you manually kick off a build for a service?
So we can just go to the pipeline, select a branch, and here's a, you can build it with the parameters. And you can also specify a branch for contract tests. If you wanted to build against some previous release.
So it also means that we can only build a whole pipeline, right? We cannot build like single contract test job only anymore?
Actually, we can, but it wouldn't publish the image to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only stage that uses external job is contract test. And we can actually run it. Let's say something. Yeah, and it will run. Okay, so are there any other questions? Okay, so who wants to present next?
Is there anyone else from the Solvelo team?
Yeah. And the last one. Can you see my screen?
Yep.
Okay, so I have one ticket to show you. There was a ticket about adding a new screen to edit requisition reasons. And here it is. We have an edit button. And we'll move to the next screen. And we are not able to edit category and type, and everything else we can edit. We can add a new tag and remove some other. We can add new assignments, and we can update reason and changes are saved. Yeah, and basically that's it. Do you have any questions?
Not at this time. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, so I believe that's everyone from the Team Parrot side. So we will let someone else take over now.
Great, thanks. Craig or Clay, do you want to take over to showcase Ona's work?
Yeah, so I'll go ahead and give an overview of the sprint, Clay, if you want to go ahead and start sharing your screen. This sprint, we focused on generating documentation with the developer community, kind of interacting with the developer community to better understand how we will structure the reporting system and generating documentation along those lines so that we could help make some decisions. Clay is going to give you an overview of the configuration guide that he wrote. Clay?
Yeah, hi, thanks Clay. Hi everyone. So as you know, Superset is the visualization component of the reporting stack. And what we've done here is built a configuration guide and user manual that walks you through a bunch of different terminology and things to know about Superset. So we've got a list of terms here, how to apply filters to data, either on dashboard or within a slice, information about security, so configuring users, giving them access, restricting access. Here's where we'll continue to add known metrics and limitations that we find with Superset, and some miscellaneous tips and tricks. We've got a link to external documentation, including Superset docs, their Gitter, and their GitHub. And then we have a list of various step-by-step or click-by-click tasks on how to create a user, access a data source, creating metrics, etc. In Superset. So this is meant to, give users instructions on how to administer Superset, how to build in Superset, but also just give them some reference on some terms and concepts that apply to Superset. Any questions?
Cool. So this document is housed in the configuration guide, and it just like the configuration guide, it is a work in progress that we will continue to update as we move forward with the superset implementation. All right, so Peter has done a number of tasks around high-level strategic thinking for the reporting system, and I supported him with community engagement. Peter is currently traveling. He's on a plane right now, so he's not able to attend this week, but he'll likely be here in the future. The first one is an overview of a list of recommendations on how to maintain both Ansible scripts and Docker containers for the reporting platform. This document was written and posted to the wiki, where we recognize that developers need a Docker container to stand up the service and run it locally so that we can perform testing, continuous integration, and delivery, as well as, kind of the Jenkins CI processes. So we need to maintain Docker. The reporting stack also has, in production use, we need to have a community discussion in the future around running the reporting stack in Docker or running it without Docker. The reporting stack has the ability to auto-scale built in for the data storage and ingestion processes. So as implementations begin to move toward using the reporting platform in production, we will need to kind of understand and develop a process for using and implementing the reporting platform with Docker or directly on the hardware using Ansible as the provisioning mechanism. So this document focuses on keeping both up to date as a regular business process, so that those who do move to the reporting platform are able to choose either or. One of the pieces here is that Ona standardizes on Ansible as well, and those auto-scaling features specifically for the data storage and Apache Kafka are actively in use, and they're managed by a system called ZooKeeper. So this document is out there for further discussion and to help our teams ensure how to keep both of these pieces up to date. The second major document that we delivered focuses on data storage options for the reporting platform. This document began in the last sprint, and it was reviewed and further refined during this sprint, where we kind of identified, and this might be a shift in our current strategy, but we identified that it's most appropriate to structure it where we have NiFi performing ingestion. We write that to an immutable Kafka log so that we can replay the information, and then we provide this log is able to connect to any one of these three data storage options, where the implementer can choose to use a relational database like Postgres, Hadoop, which we haven't currently explored, or Druid, which is currently what our current data storage platform. The implementation needs to make that decision on which technology to implement, and this guide helps identify which of these three hardware options are most appropriate for their context. My expectation is that we will have, and we've started a discussion on the developer community Google groups, and we'll continue that conversation. I know Josh just wrote a very thoughtful post yesterday that we will continue to have. And my expectation is that we can make a decision at the technical committee on which should be kind of the preferred method for the reference distro and begin to move forward with that data storage option. Those are the two major ones. We had a number of brainstorming sessions to create epics and stories for, or create stories and tasks for the existing epics out there. We've created dozens of tickets to kind of plan the next couple of sprints and have those tickets available. That is it for the own updates. The conversations are continuing on the dev channel, and I'm sure we'll have a very meaty technical committee on Tuesday next week. Does anyone have any questions on the update?
No, it looks good, and it's exciting to see all the dialogue and discussion, and clearly a lot of decisions to be made.
Thanks.
Okay, Ashraf, do you want to kick it off for Team JSI?
Yeah, sure. This is Ashraf. So I'm going to share my screen first. Do you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay. So this is, you know, our first sprint from the JSI side. And also, I believe that not everybody is really aware that on the JSI team, our folks are kind of part-time on this project. So that's why, you know, you probably see that we are not being, you know, as... I mean, our tickets may not be as many as we have seen in other teams. And also, since this is the first like sprint, so we kind of focused on the onboarding activities to start with, and also to get ourselves, you know, acclimatized in this new platform. So our sprint goal was to onboard and also to groom the tickets for the upcoming sprint, and then also to start working on the feature set that was assigned to us, which is the requisition add product feature. So as part of the onboarding, and since we are a bit kind of part-time on this project, we had to also disengage from other projects and then start with the onboarding activities for this project. So that also started with the virtual machine and the Docker and the reference UI, OpenLMS microservices, IntelliJ as the IDE, et cetera, et cetera. And then we also had to, you know, get ourselves acclimatized with the OpenLMS processes and the good practices. And there is, you know, a tons of various kind of documentation that is available on the wiki and in the doc site. So we had to go through those things and then, you know, try to acclimatize ourselves with these processes and the good practices. And then we started with the actual programming work, which was for the add product epic. So as part of that, we had to kind of review the gap between the eLMIS and the OpenLMIS for this particular workflow. And we have seen in the initial wiki page for the gap that there may still have been some gaps in what has been captured as a gap like before, because that's quite understandable because the initial thing was done probably over 6 months ago now. So we had to go back and update it a bit. And then we started to groom the tickets, and then we have started the sprint. So now let me jump to the sprint. So as you can see that this is the JSI sprint, and after consultation with like Sam and Craig, we have kind of decided that, you know, each team can have their own sprint. So that's why you see the JSI sprint here. Out of that, you know, we don't have that many tickets to begin with. As I was saying earlier, most of them were kind of related to onboarding, and also for the like documentation of the differences between the ELMIs and the OpenLMIs, particularly for the RNR ad product workflow. So I do have one of the documentation that captures those differences. Let's see which one it is. So this was the grooming page for the Sprint 53. Right. So this is the wiki page that we created, and this is immediately under the feature area that we started with. So that, you know, has the OpenLMIS on the left side and the ELMIS. For each of those, you know, functional or the UI elements, we compared and contrasted that how it is in open LMIS and how it is in the ELMIS, so that at least we have a good understanding about what are the gaps, so that because our focus is to bridge the gap. And since our, like, we already have 5-6 implementations, and it would be good practice on our part that if we make sure that all of the countries and their several kind of differences in how they configured their R&R workflow, so that we capture those things and then make sure that the gap is really explicitly kind of defined. So this is available, and you can also go through it. And I think internally we also had another kind of discussions on which we have also presented the findings at the time. So you guys, if you're interested, you can go through it. And as I said, this is only for the ad product flow. So there, the whole requisition is much complex area. So there's other areas too, but this particular doc only focus on the ad product feature. All right, so let me come back to the sprint. So as part of the onboarding, I would ask my team member, Mohammed, if you're online, let me check and see whether you're online. Could you give us an update on, what the process that you went through for your onboarding?
Okay, sure, Ashraf. So my experience with the onboarding was overall it was okay. I mean, except with the initial blockers that since I had I choose to set up my virtual machine and use the Ubuntu system because my PC is a Windows PC, and when I was reading through the documentation, so there was some cautionary notes that Windows may not be an appropriate platform for the development. So I was not sure that down the road that how the Windows will perform. So I choose to use the Ubuntu system. So for that purpose, I created the virtual machine. And so the steps that I followed to set up was to install the virtual machine and then install Docker Compose, then create the SSH keys, then clone the reference distro, then clone requisition, and then install IntelliJ and build and run locally to test that everything's working. So those were the steps that I followed to set up my environment. So as I said, that overall, it was smooth, except that because I initially had the older virtual machine where I have installed the Apache server. So that was conflicting with my new environment. So then I choose to remove the old machine and then create the new virtual machine. So then it worked.
Thanks, Mohammed. So let me also add a bit. So we also have programmers working from Ethiopia. So particularly Tech Lou. So his computer has only 6 gig of RAM. So he discovered that he's not able to run the OpenLMIS after he has installed it. And, particularly when he goes to the IntelliJ, that's the time it chokes. So he had to order a new computer, and he still hasn't got it yet. So there's a bit of a downtime. So I pulled him out of the OpenLMIS, and he's now working on a different project until his new computer is set up. And also because of the time zone kind of differences and the internet issues, the team asked me to, kind of present on their behalf. So that's why, today you'd see me that I would be presenting for the work that we have done so far. So now let me go to the ticket that actually had the work that is related to the R&R add product list feature, so which is 4681. Right. So this is to focus on the configuration area of the requisition template. And I will go there very quickly. And we initially only started with the configuration. We have not yet come to the actual requisition form where the skip and add products that have been skipped, that feature is to be added. And that we groomed for the upcoming sprint, which is the GSI sprint number 2. And for the overall sprint, I guess this is sprint 54, if I'm not mistaken. So now let me jump to the OpenLMIS. So I already had it open. So under administration, under the requisition template, you would come here. And then on the skip, which is this column. So maybe I would have to also give a bit of a background on this so that at least others who are aware of, you know, why this was the gap between the OpenLMIS and the ELMIS. So what happened is in the ELMIS implementations, particularly in Tanzania and Alexandria, who had like 500 plus like different products. So on their requisition forms, they have, you know, 15 pages or like 25 pages. So, but a kind of smaller facilities typically can report on say like 50 products. So they had to go through all of those different pages to pick the products on which they had to kind of report and also place the requisition. So that was a very time consuming and inefficient approach for them. So what they told us that, you know, could you just do it in a way so that the program can figure out that what are the product that we have been reported on our last period and only give us those products so that in this period, I don't have to go through with all of those pages. I will just pick the one that that I'm carrying and I'm going to report on those only. So this feature is really coming from that. So if you skipped few products in your earlier requisition, so that we are kind of respecting that and we give you option to see what would you like to see in your current period. Would you like to appear them as already skipped, or would you like it to appear as if it is not there anymore, but you have the option that you can always add it. So that is the kind of context for this. So the skip is here, and then we added two new features under the source and the additional option. In the source, we gave the options of bringing the skipped like values from the earlier requisition, and also give you the option to hide that from the display. So these two are there, and we have conducted the test there as like Sam have shown a bit ago. And I don't have it open, the test cases. I don't know what happened that, you know, it doesn't go there for me. But I think that's about all the work that we have done in the sprint in terms of the actual programming and the tickets. And the ticket, as you have seen, were mostly onboardings and getting ourselves up to speed and also kind of finding the documentation, creating the documentation that captured the differences between the OpenLMIS and the ELMIS. So that's about all from our side.
I have a question. This is that I first want to say it. You were saying how this team, you know, didn't get as many points done in his onboarding. And I just wanted to say, this is not a competition. Like, this is your very first sprint. Of course, onboarding and all of those things are the focus. So, so I'm really excited that we got this far and actually excited that you built this feature. About the feature, it looks like it. We saw the configuration side. Does the current work also actually allow the skipping behavior on the requisition form, or is that then kind of the separate or the next ticket?
These are the next tickets, which we plan to work from like tomorrow.
Okay, awesome. Cool. And I was also just going to say, yeah, even if the developers, like because of time zone or internet, have trouble joining this call, I think we had talked before about some ideas like making a quick video recording or other things we could keep trying. So anyway, I'm very glad to see some features work here that already got done in this first, you know, onboarding time. So that's great. And yeah, if we can continue to work on sort of how developers can get enough memory, get workstations that work, but also be able to, you know, do video recordings or something to kind of participate in the showcase, all of that would be good. So anyway, that's all my questions, and I'm really glad to see this.
Yeah, so this is a good point. So I would try to see whether we can arrange for them to also participate on their own and also present. And if their internet isn't working or the time zone becomes an issue, then I would also see whether they can record, and then we can kind of view the recording.
Just so I think, Elias, you're on the call, and Ashraf, I think you did a superb job of giving a lot of background information. I just wanted to make sure, Elias, I know you completed the tickets that Ashraf was just talking about with the feature implementation. Is there anything you want to highlight or share with the team about the work you did?
I think at this point, we only have the configuration, so there's not a lot that I would add, but if anybody has question around what the thoughts are or in what direction we're moving, I would appreciate those questions.
Great, thanks. I'll hand it off to Sam. Is there any closing comments or others that need to?
No, I think this showcase is great to highlight all of the new teams, and we actually came in under the scheduled time, which is also great for not going over, but still getting everything covered. Are there any other questions or comments?
I was just going to ask, as new people have onboarded on either of the teams where there's some new folks working, have you found the Slack, like the pound help or Slack channels, a good way? I mean, definitely, I know when I've started working with different parts of the code, I had all kinds of questions getting my dev environment set up and had to ask for help. I just wanted to check in. Did you find yourself having to ask for help? Do people feel comfortable using the Slack or sort of know where to go if you're stuck?
From my side, yes, I've found the help channel very helpful. In fact, Chongsun, thank you so much for quickly answering my question and also helping me figure out some issues that I had. It was very helpful, and the fact that it was my question was responded to quickly was very helpful.
And I should also mention that we did have a Q&A that Chongsun led for the new teams early in the sprint. And we'll intend on having more as needed. Okay, so great. Thank you, everyone. I guess this is the close of the Sprint Showcase.
Thank you, everyone, as well. Take care. Bye-bye.
Congratulations.
Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye.